You are listening to the ICW Safety Sound Off audio series.
Hi, and welcome to Safety Sound Off. My name is Rob Nisus. I'm the regional manager for ICW Group's risk management team. And joining me today is Leslie Stahl.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me on today.
You're welcome. Thank you for joining us. Why don't you start by telling the folks what you do for ICW?
So I'm one of the risk management consultants, but in addition, I'm a technical specialist. And that means that I have a specialty to help train our customers as well as our consultants in specific areas. And one of my specialties is machinery and machine guarding.
Excellent. Well, that's what we're going to be talking about today. So I'm glad you're joining us. Let me start out with just some basic, simple questions. When it comes to machine guarding, what are some best practices for machine guarding that I guess a top-notch company might have?
Well, sure, that's actually kind of easy to answer. And one of the things that I like to say is that if you can do redundant controls, you're better off. So when I say redundant controls, I mean having two things to protect the worker. So maybe having their workstation set far away from the point of operation while also having a guard in place. So that's one way that a company can go best practice. But even more importantly is having some sort of process in place for checking to make sure guards are in place or checking to make sure things like light curtains or safety sensing mats are actually functioning. A lot of companies forget about this. They install them and they never really worry about them again. But in order for those devices to function properly, they really have to be checked on. So a best-in-class company is going to have a formal procedure to make sure their maintenance department is adding those two items or any other devices or electronic fixes into their regular preventative maintenance program schedule.
Great. So it's not really a one and done. It's a one and then follow up on a regular basis.
Definitely. I don't know if you've been in a lot of places that have light curtains, but if they get bumped or moved or someone decides that they're going to stick some tape over one of the lights, then we've got problems because they're not offering any protection. So by having a schedule to regularly go around and perform a test, it really makes life a lot safer at that plant.
Great. I love the idea. I think you're right on track with that. So you've been out to a lot of different accounts. What's one of the pet peeves you have when it comes to machine guarding?
Oh, that's an easy one. It's seeing wing nuts or even something else simple like a regular old bolt and screw, bolt and nut. I just really feel like people are trying to trick me when I go out and I see their fixed guards attached with something super simple that anybody could take off with the fingers. Because they tell me that they're not taking them off. They're not removing their guards for any reason. But when I see an easy wing nut on their guard, I know that when I leave, that guard's probably coming off for some sort of unjamming operation or something else that probably that guard shouldn't be off for. So I really like to see something that is requiring a specialty tool to secure guards in place. And it's back to that's what's required by OSHA. So when I go out and I see a wing nut securing a guard in place and that employer tells me, oh, it's okay, we never take that off, don't really believe them. And I don't think the OSHA compliance officer will either.
Well, that's probably true. And, you know, even if they're not taking it off, just the possibility that access is that easy just lends itself to potential trouble in the future, correct?
Yeah, exactly. We, as loss control consultants, as risk management consultants, we can't be everywhere all the time. The safety manager, if the company's lucky enough to have one, can't be by every machine at every moment. So we just need other controls in place, unfortunately, because not every employee has the best intentions. And even though they think they're doing the right thing, when they remove that guard and they get their fingers caught in it, it's a bad day for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've all seen that in this industry. So, you know, it sounds like some of these guards are maybe a little retrofitted is a better way of saying it. Is there a grandfather clause that old machines, you know, because we've all seen them out there, they're 1940s, you know, sure. Some of them from World War II, for goodness sake. You know, but if they don't have a guard on them, what's the matter? Is that's just the way it was made and you don't need to put one on? Or what is the regulation?
So I really wish that that was the case because it would solve so many problems for so many people. But the fact is that if there's a machine out there that has moving parts that an employee can put fingers or hair or any other body part in, or a point of operation that someone could catch something in, it has to be protected. It doesn't matter if that machine came from the turn of a century. It is required to have a guard. And I know people will say, yeah, but when OSHA came in play, they said some of these machines were okay. And in fact, back in the 70s, that was actually the case. There were a few machines that OSHA said you have a certain set time frame to get in compliance and to have protected. But trust me, all those grandfather clauses that were in there have definitely run out by now. So there is no machine out there that you're allowed to have unguarded. It's kind of similar to what we're seeing with the fixed ladders nowadays. So there's a new standard out there that says that the fixed ladders have to have different types of cages on it, but it doesn't have to happen tomorrow. So there's going to be a time period where these ladders all have to be put into compliance. And so that's the same thing that happened with machinery, but I guess lucky for us now, all of those clauses have run their time frame and every machine has to be properly guarded now.
Oh, that's good information. I think a lot of people might be surprised by that.
Definitely. So,
you know, if there's an old machine out there and there's no guard for it, originally there probably never was, is it all right to create a guard, make a homemade guard, or is that not acceptable?
Absolutely. There are plenty of companies out there that you can hire to create a guard for you. And I think in some cases that is definitely the right option. But there are a lot of savvy maintenance departments out there that are quite capable of creating a guard, taking measurements, and designing the protection needed for that piece of equipment. So one thing that I like to see when guards are made in-house is I want to see a competent employee take the measurements. I want to see the competent employee go ahead and find the material that needs to be used, because we can't make a guard out of plastic necessarily. If the object behind it, if it shatters, it could break out and break the plastic. So that person designing the guard needs to know a little bit about science, needs to know a little bit about what's going to withstand the pressure behind the force of the machine, should say a blade break or something like that, as well as simple physics of what goes on when we put the bolts in here and here. Is there a chance that it's going to come loose? So personally, I don't create guards because I've never cut metal. I've never drilled metal. I've never mounted anything. I wouldn't be a very qualified person to design a guard. Now I can go and look at a machine and tell you with pretty good idea what I think the guard should look like. But for physically designing and cutting and fabricating that guard, there are plenty of qualified people out there. You just need to make sure that the person who's been assigned that task is actually qualified to do it. If need be, like I said earlier, there's a lot of job shops and a lot of specialty contractors that are focused on making guards and can come out, do all the measurements, go home to their office, make the guard, bring it back out, and fit it on so that it's going to fit perfectly. But homemade guards, just to get back to your original question, perfectly fine as long as they're well made. They have to be sturdy, they have to be able to be attached to the machine, and they shouldn't break under the normal pressure that machine is going to exert.
Wow, that's great information, Leslie. I thank you for that. And thank you for joining us today, Leslie. We appreciate your time. And thank you, listeners, for participating in Safety Sound Off.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure.
Join us next time on our next Safety Sound Off audio series as we enhance our lives, protect our health, and help each other create a culture of safety.